Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino.
Kasama natin sa programa, arts marketer, writer, creative producer, Mariam Arcela. Good morning, Mariam.
Magandang umaga, Noin.
Yes. So how have you been during this pandemic? Working from home, right?
Yeah, a lot of working from home. The art sector is looking very different right now because a lot of galleries had to close down. I was managing a gallery in Sydney during the coronavirus outbreak, so that business had to shut down temporarily. So a lot of my friends lost work. A lot of the artists around me had their exhibitions cancelled or postponed and opportunities disappeared because of the virus. So it's a very different vibe right now.
Yes, and most of your work are being done online.
Yes. So I had to adapt a lot of the projects that I was doing. But because I'm a writer, I usually interview people in person. So I had an interview with an art collector. You know, they collected a lot of artworks, but I wasn't able to visit their house because of the virus. So they showed me their house tour on a small iPad.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. So I had to adapt the way that I write because I couldn't see things physically. You couldn't, you know, see exhibitions physically anymore. So you have to find other ways to promote artists. That was interesting. Yeah.
And, yes.
So I believe, like, you know, artists keep the world moving, as you know. And so as a producer and a writer, I wanted to find ways to help artists express themselves. So that's why I decided to do the podcast. Yeah.
Podcast Making Art Dot Work, isn't it?
Yeah, my Making Art Work is the initiative.
Yeah.
So the podcast is called Interno, and I wanted to do a podcast because I wanted to keep talking to artists about their artwork, but, you know, obviously I can't meet them face-to-face, so podcasts were the perfect way to do that. And I didn't know how to do a podcast. I didn't have the resources, but that time, Institute of Modern Art invited me to take part in Making Artwork. So it's an experimental project that they had. Institute of Modern Art is in Brisbane, and they were funded by the Queensland government to help artists make exhibitions and programs. But because of coronavirus, they had to close the gallery down. So the IMA used the money, the leftover money from the funding, to make this project called Making Artwork. So that means they paid artists and writers and producers like me to come up with ideas, which is very rare opportunity. So that was really exciting. So that's why I came up with the podcast. Yeah.
So Making Art Work features 40 artists, isn't it?
Yeah. So they're mostly Queensland-based, or artists who have close ties with Queensland. So we have Tony Albert, who's an Aboriginal artist who made a video in response to the Captain Cook statue. That was a really fun project to see. And we had Hannah Gottside, who is a Brisbane artist who makes works with textiles. So we have, like, all these artists who were able to continue making work and connecting with audiences during the lockdown. And that's part of what the Institute of Modern Art wanted to do. And it's actually a very revolutionary idea because not many galleries and institutions have done it this way. So instead of making the money go to waste, you know, or returning it to the government, they were able to redistribute the money and pay artists directly to come up with ideas. So that was fun.
So now we'll talk about your Interno. So as you mentioned, because you basically do interviews with people face-to-face, but since this pandemic is affecting all of us, so you've decided to do a podcast. So tell us about Interno. You are featuring 4 or 5 artists?
Yeah, 4 artists. So it's a 4-part series, and I interview various artists who are recalibrating their internal lives. So it's capturing artists who are stuck at home, away from their families and friends. They've had their exhibitions cancelled. One artist has coronavirus, so Sarah Morowet, she's an Australian artist, stuck in New York. So I'm interviewing her soon, and she's going to be telling me how the virus has affected her personally and how it's impacted her artworks. She was meant to be working on an exhibition in Paris, and then it got cancelled. So it's interesting to talk to an artist who actually has coronavirus, because I don't know about you, Annalyn, but I haven't physically met anybody who has had coronavirus yet.
I haven't too, and yeah. I hope I don't.
I hope I don't as well. But the interesting thing is, like, Sarah is in New York, so it's a global pandemic where she is. So, and another set of artists as well is Sarah Sarah Studio. So they're two Filipina Americans, and one is a Filipina Canadian. So Gabriela is an illustrator, Marielle is a photographer, Mal is an entrepreneur, and so they run Sarah Sarah Studio, and they're based in New York, also a hot spot. So the challenge they're facing right now is fighting for human rights and protesting in the streets while the global pandemic is happening. So that's a really interesting interview that I had with them, because they're very proactive on social media and on the streets. So right now they're fighting for Black Lives Matters and, you know, BIPOC solidarity, which I'm sure you would have read about.
Yeah.
At the same time, there's a pandemic, so there are a whole... You know, priority is social activism versus social distancing. Like, how can you create work and fight for human rights while taking care of yourself and making sure you also don't get sick? So that was interesting for them.
Were they out in the street during the Black Lives Matter?
Yeah. The Barclay Center. I don't know if you saw the
Yeah, it's on the news. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where Gabriela and Marielle were. So they were protesting right in the middle of the hotspot, while Mal is in Canada as well protesting. So so it's really important to have solidarity as well, and also do it through social media, which they're very, very active on. Sorry, they're promoting, you know, awareness about the junkyard bill, which is happening in the Philippines as well. Which is a bill that Duterte is trying to pass, which limits freedom of speech as well. So all of those things are also part of art as activism. Sarah also released the third issue of their magazine, Kapwa. You know the word Kapwa?
Kapwa, yeah.
Yeah, so they've got an issue called Quarantine, which is themed around lockdown and quarantine. So they have 60 artists, photographers, writers and designers around the world who are from the Philippines diaspora, and they contributed a creative work, and they talked about being stuck in lockdown and what that has to do with the creativity, like how this has, you know, enabled them to, you know, find new ways of working. So that was a really cool project to talk about in the podcast.
You mentioned about Sarisari mm-hmm. Studio finding innovative ways to continue mm-hmm. with their art. So what have they been doing?
So what they've been doing is, when they released Kapwa, it's 60 artists that they interviewed, they decided to release a digital version so that, you know, people can access the magazine really quickly. And then they did, you know, interviews with so many different types of Filipinx artists, like graphic designers in LA, in New York, in Canada, in Manila, and how they have been able to use lockdown to connect with other artists. So through social media, through online projects, through photography projects. So that's quite innovative, because, you know, us as Filipinx people, like, we are all over the world, right? There's like, what,
correct,
12,
yeah.
million, 12 million of us living overseas. And no matter where we live, we always feel connection to the homeland. And so that project that they've released, Kapwa, they actually worked on it just close to the coronavirus outbreak. So it's a very, very timely project. Yes. And they also keep sending information online through their website and their social media about Filipinx projects and, you know, education resources, so that everyone knows, you know, what Filipinx people are doing around the world. Yeah, it's pretty cool to discover all these new Filipina designers that I'm following now from America. So, yeah.
So the social distancing has not really prevented the creatives to continue with their arts and the things that they do, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it hasn't prevented, but it's made artists find new ways of talking about their art. So I'm seeing a lot of, like, artists, they're actually talking about the process of how they make work now. So I'm seeing a lot of artists doing studio tours online, they're doing Instagram interviews. They're using lockdown time to actually reflect on their artworks and how they contribute to the wider world as artists and as human beings, which is what the podcast is about. So it hasn't prevented many creative people from creating, but it's made them think of new ways to talk about their work, which is a positive thing that has come out of coronavirus, is that it's made a lot of people think about what they're contributing to the world in a more positive and meaningful way. Not that it was not like that before, but it's, you know, I think there's so many people who have been working so much and so fast and so hard for so long, you know, that they've forgotten to be grateful of the time that they have.
Yeah.
And being present.
So as like yourself, you've been also innovative with this podcast, Interno, isn't it, Mariam?
Yes. Yeah. So I wanted to interview different types of artists who are based in topical locations around the world. So one is in Canada, two are in North America, one is in Seoul in South Korea, and the other is in Santa Fe, and the other one has been in Brisbane. So it's been really illuminating seeing how they are able to adapt to the coronavirus and other life changes as well. Like there's a DJ in South Korea, she's Melry. And she decided to quit DJing to move to South Korea. And then the pandemic hit, so she's kind of stuck there. So
yeah.
She's been living there for since March, but she hasn't even become a tourist because she's not allowed to go to many places.
You can't tour now.
You can't. Yeah, you can't be a tourist in another country. It's very strange now, so she's kind of stuck there. But she's enjoying the solitude. And then another artist, Sarah Moritz, who is obviously in New York, so that's a completely different experience. And then Sari also have a totally different experience of how they view the pandemic as well. But yeah, it's like a time capsule. The podcast is a time capsule of how they are feeling and how they are dealing with loneliness and with lockdown and with disconnection from the outside world. And so this was an opportunity for them to connect with me to talk about how they are trying to remain optimistic and productive during this time. So that's been a really blessing experience for me as well.
I think the only good thing that that is happening during this time of pandemic is it's not borders is not hindering us. Like we are now a one world where we can connect to everyone anywhere in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, that's completely true, Annalene. There's no territories anymore. There's no borders. It's like the world has opened up so much now, and we are not separated by distances and by islands and by oceans. Now we are all even more connected now, and I think that technology has been used in such a productive and positive way now. A lot of people are using FaceTime and Zoom. Like I've been able to FaceTime my Lola and my family more now because, you know, some like older relatives are not used to video, video chats, but now they're becoming more open to it. Like my mom's more open to video chatting me now because she misses me. She has no choice but to try and know how to work the FaceTime.
Yeah. So, I think we just have to find ways to really connect with each other, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And and also with, you know, I'm sure you know about the entrepreneurs. Have been doing a lot of in my cucina, the kitchen, Instagram programs that they're doing. So there's a lot of new content. It's super exciting because the content that you're seeing, you're learning food, you're learning a lot about art and culture, and seeing a lot of Filipinx content lately through social media.
And I can see, Mariam, that you've been more engaged and very into researching these Filipino creatives and talents, isn't it? For the past couple of years,
I think the Filipino culture is so strong because of just the way that we are so close-knit. Like, I've been so privileged to meet, you know, Luisa Bibo, for example, you know, and the Entrepreneurs team, for example, like Sandra Tan and I talk quite a lot. And it's all because of the Filipinx connection. And I find that, you know, like I said earlier, like wherever you are in the world, if you are a Filipino or a Filipinx person, you will be embraced by the community instantly. You feel so at home. And, you know, that's why it's so exciting to research who else is, you know, Filipino as well. And you know, even like reading all these good news stories about Filipino people, like, you know, Melanie Perkins. Seeing somebody like Melanie, it matters so much for young Filipinx people. To see somebody like that who has risen to the top, who has said, you know, who has just continued going even though she's received so many rejections early in her career, but also to have a billionaire who puts the money back into the community. So she's so different to Elon Musk and to Mark Zuckerberg. She's actually a billionaire who actually puts so much effort back into helping the community. And that's, I think, a very Filipina thing to do.
So I'm so
lucky that I was born into a Filipina body. Like, I feel so privileged.
Yeah, and I think it will be inspiring a lot more of Filipinos all over the world, or in particular in Australia, to really go out and do what you really love, what's your passion, isn't it?
Yeah. I think that, you know, it's really, we are unstoppable if we have a dream and we can pursue that and really believe that we can do anything despite of, you know, the objections that are thrown against us. Then that's such a powerful thing. And I think that the whole ethos of being from the Philippines is that we work so tremendously hard. We dedicate our entire life to serving people and to making people happy, you know, either by cooking for them or inviting them to our home or creating something for them or playing music to them or singing to them. You know, like, our whole, you know, ancestors have taught us to dedicate our life to service. And so I think that everything that I do is informed by my heritage.
Yes. In Interno, you have featured Sari Sari Studio. So is there any other projects that you are working on?
Yes, I'm currently writing an essay about an Indian artist, Sanchintia Mohini Simpson, for a Melbourne exhibition. It's called Disobedient Daughters, and it features Asian artists. So it's curated by Sophia Chai, who's actually this amazing curator that you should check out. She writes about Asian art history and community projects. And I'm also about to start working at the Foray Center for Contemporary Asian Art here in Haymarket, which is super exciting because I get to work with a tremendous group of artists and historians and writers. And they're all from the Asian Australian, Asia Pacific and Middle East diaspora. And actually, Foray is going to be exhibiting two Filipina textile artists, Lauren and Cass Hernandez from Crossing Threads. They're Filipina Australian, but they're Filipina, and they're sisters. They're just super cute to know in real life. They're just so full of energy, and they're these accomplished textile artists. I think they have quite a huge following on Instagram, like around 50,000 followers.
Yeah.
And they're mostly like textile and design audiences, but they're also branching into visual art now with the exhibition that they're going to be having at Foray. So
when is the exhibition up?
The exhibition opens on 6th of August and continues until the 30th of August. So it's a good month.
Yeah.
In Haymarket. So it's part of Holding Patterns, which again is an exhibition that Foray produced because of the coronavirus. So Holding Patterns refers to, you know, the theme of, you know, just being in limbo pretty much when things are up in the air. You know, the plane is stuck up in the air flying. Yeah, so the exhibition is featuring a Middle Eastern and Asian artists, so artists of the diaspora. And, you know, it provides them with an opportunity to show works because many artists are not able to show works right now. So once galleries open, then the show will start continuing.
So what are you be doing with 4Ace?
So I'm going to be the new editor of the Foray Papers, which is a publication that they have, and also the engagement and development manager. So I'm going to be working with the team, who are pretty incredible, on programs. And obviously, coronavirus has put a stop to many of the programs. So again, it's trying to recalibrate how to work with the program once everything starts opening back up slowly. Yeah, so that's what I'll be doing. And I'm really grateful because it's hard for a lot of artists and arts workers to find jobs now.
I know. Yeah.
So it's a funny time, but I'm really thankful. And it's good that you're also able to tell stories still through SBS, you know.
We are thankful for that.
Yeah.
So, Mariam, you've been doing a lot of profiling, interviewing artists in Australia, and now with Interno, you've reached out to artists in North America, in Canada. But my question is, when are you going to be doing a series or a project that features Filipino-Australian artists?
Hopefully soon. I mean, I'm talking with the Entrepreneurs Girls because we are hoping to start something in Sydney, because, you know, the Melbourne team have so many contacts here in Sydney, and we're hoping to start something.
Yeah.
But we don't know what it's going to be yet. I'll have to get back to you. I'm sure you'll be the first to find out.
Yes,
but
please.
But we want to do something that promotes Filipino-Australian food makers and producers, artists, writers, designers. So we're in brainstorming mode. We still have to come up with a name, which is the most important part. And then we'll start doing a project like this. Yeah, so it's coming. We'll see what we'll come up with.
Yes.
For. Yeah, but,
so for your future and upcoming projects, programs or whatever, where can our listeners follow you?
So they can follow me on Instagram, which pretty much has the links to all the projects that I'm working on. So that's at Marzigold. And mariamarcelia.com is my website. But if you wanted to look at the Making Artwork initiative, it's makingart.work. Yeah, so it's going to be continuing for a while longer. So they're doing a call out, actually. So if there's any Filipino Australian artists who want to be part of the project, who have ties to Queensland, they can actually apply to be part of Making Artwork. So yeah, so that's a really cool thing because they'll get microfunding for the project, which will help, you know, with coming up with ideas if they wanted to do an exhibition or if somebody wanted to do a podcast as well.
You mentioned that, where can I know the Interno through the Making Artwork is funded by the Queensland government. So for our listeners who are interested to apply for this funding, where can they get information from?
They can go to the IMA website, ima.org.au, or directly to makingart.work, and that will give them information about how to apply for this project, and also all the projects that are on the website, mine included, and 40 other artists are on there, so they can see what kind of projects the IMA have funded. So with my project, I was able to use the funds to pay the artists for being interviewed, which is quite rare. You don't usually pay artists to be interviewed, but I thought, you know, artists also are giving their time to talk to you, so they get a small fee for that as well. So that's really important, I think.
Comment Sundan SBS Filipino sa Facebook.